news and more, including state-by-state reports on the nation's premier youth organization. This is FFA Today on Rural Radio 147.
Hello and welcome to this week's FFA Today. I'm your host, Janet Adkison. And don't forget the next round of the National FFA Alumni and Supporters Grant Applications. Those are going to be due on June 1st. Now, the grant applications can be found online at ffa.org/alumni-grants. Legacy grants, sponsored by Tractor Supply Company, give groups up to $500 to start or improve FFA Alumni and Supporters chapters and up to $1,000 to work with students on a partnership project. Giving Back to Your Roots grants, sponsored by Nutrien Ag Solutions, gives chapters up to $5,000 to help pay for student fees, plant science-based projects, and other classroom materials. Again, the deadline is June 1st, so head online to ffa.org/alumni-grants to apply. And also on June 1st, if you're looking to present a workshop the week of the 92nd National FFA Convention and Expo in Indianapolis, well, the applications for that are also due this coming Saturday. You can learn more and apply at ffa.org. And now to the land of 10,000 lakes. That's where the Minnesota FFA has unveiled their brand new 2019-2020 State Officer Team. Of course, that was at the recently concluded state convention. Meet them now for yourself.
Minnesota FFA, here on stage with us, we have the brand new state officer team. Let's hear it for them.
We are so excited to have this new leadership leading us in 2019 and 2020. My name's Sam Johnson, and this is Morgan Krause. And these are the fine individuals leading our organization. Standing next to me is your next state president, Leif Arsvold, from the Plainview Elgin Millville FFA chapter. You know, as we go through this process, there's a lot that's to it. Can you explain for the audience a little bit more about kind of how you got here through the process?
I like to say that this process started a long time ago. You know, when we first were some 8th graders sitting up here in these stands, that's when this process started. We started understanding the true beauty of FFA. We're just so lucky to be here. The actual process itself is long, it's extensive, it's a day and a half, and we're lucky to make it out. And we have so many more beautiful faces who went through this process. They're just as deserving. And so we're going to do our best to serve Minnesota FFA to make them proud.
Our new straight treasurer right here, Miss Maddie. Maddie, what's going through your mind right now?
There's like so much. I'm so happy and excited. I really can't say other than I cannot believe that I have the honor to change out this blue jacket and keep it on for another year to serve and represent our Minnesota State FFA members, guests, and everyone else. And I am so excited. So thank you everyone for this wonderful opportunity.
You know, everyone has their own reason for going through this process and serving the organization in this capacity. Nick, kind of what is your reason for being up here on stage now?
I think my main reason to run was to represent all of those wonderful members of Minnesota FFA. And I am proud to wear this blue jacket. I am proud to put Minnesota on my back. I am proud of all those members that inspired me, that I inspired over these years. I am so proud to wear this jacket.
This state officer team just got elected to represent 11,000 FFA members of Minnesota. We have our new state reporter, Britton. I mean, there's so much that you're going to do this year. What are you looking forward to?
Just working with every single member that belongs to the Minnesota FFA organization and getting to know people on a more personal level.
You know, as you can see and hear and kind of feel the excitement of all the people who you get to represent this next year, and you all come from different walks of life. You know, kind of how did your FFA journey lead you to here today?
For sure. It's kind of funny. I'm actually a homeschool student, and I was able to be in FFA because of my chapter's outreach program. And I started being in the very back row, scared to even talk to anybody. And today, that's my greatest passion. I love people, and I love to work with them. And it's an honor to be able to be up here and serving each of you this year.
Congratulations again.
We have our new state sentinel, Miss Savannah. How's it going?
It's going awesome.
So this 90th FFA convention theme is Aspire to Be. What do you aspire to be in this upcoming year?
Yeah. Oh, well, first of all, I just want to say this is definitely a humbling experience, and I give God all the glory. And I aspire to be someone who can just use the gifts that he's given me to really make an impact for the members at a personal level. So.
awesome. Let's hear it for this new state officer team.
You know, I think I can speak for everyone in the crowd and across the state that we are in great hands for this next upcoming year. Everyone has a different reason for being here and a different story, and that's the great, great thing about FFA is that it brings walks of life all together in a great place like this. So again, congratulations to all of you.
And from Minnesota to California, where One Agricultural Academy prides itself on its hands-on learning and career-oriented coursework. America's Heartland's Rob Stewart reports on these project-based ag classrooms.
Andre Whitaker is a senior here and very active in the FFA, a national organization working to support students who see agriculture in their future. Andre wants to be a large animal veterinarian. Today, he's in charge of the chickens and rabbits, tending to their needs and care.
I just loved horses, so thanks to the ag program, I already figured that I can't work with large animals until I work with small animals because I can't just go from nothing to large. So I knew I had to have prior experience. And with ag offering such things as our poultry and our rabbits, I've done both. Having the experience with such small animals has helped me set up the foundation for me to work with large animals. And I knew that if I could work with small animals, I definitely could move on and learn and take my experience and take it with me for my job.
California has an extensive linked learning program offering a number of potential career choices. There are similar programs in other states, some of which also focus on agriculture. Students and teachers emphasize, however, that ag education is tough work. It offers high school students a rigorous academic curriculum combined with career-focused learning. It means a lot of work for these teens with dreams. Those ag opportunities literally changed An Nguyen's life. An moved to America in 2010 from Vietnam. She didn't speak English and knew nothing about agriculture. That's all changed.
And it's crazy because I remember there were days where I can only remember three words or that I understood, and it was hard. It was hard. But when I started high school, that's when I stepped into agriculture. And when I stepped in, my advisor, she took me right in.
And agriculture is also blowing away students at nearby Elk Grove High School. The two programs serve more than 150 teens. The academy here takes more of a farm life approach. This is Tyler Yates and his prize-winning pig, Sally. Agriculture is already important to Tyler's life and career choices.
I want to become an agriculture teacher.
Really?
Yes. I know, you don't usually hear that from high schoolers. Oh, you want to become a teacher? Yeah.
I love that.
It's just, I want to help them. Like how my teachers helped me learn all this stuff, I want to help other kids learn it. And it just helps me, and I've always loved animals, I've always been around them, and so just doing this is kind of doing what I love.
And the Ag Tech Academy at Florin High School has a full-year sequence curriculum integrating math, English, and social science, as well as agricultural science. Well, don't go anywhere. We'll meet a member in the Show Me State pursuing his PhD in an important but dirty trade next on FFA Today. Well, thanks for tuning in. And now we hand things over to FFA Today contributor and host of the Off-Farm Income Podcast, Matt Breckwald, who introduces us to Cole Diggins, a Missouri member going after his PhD, who says he owes it all to the FFA and his advisor for giving him the push.
Joining me today is Cole Diggins, and he's coming to us from the University of Missouri, where he's majoring in soil resource management. He's a former chapter president with Bronaugh High School in Bronaugh, Missouri. I'm probably saying that wrong, and had a beef production SAE. Cole, welcome to the show. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you, Mr. Breckwald. It's a pleasure to be here.
Really looking forward to the conversation and finding out about everything that you've been doing. I wonder if I might be able to start off by just asking you a little bit about you personally so everybody out there listening can kind of get to know you a little bit.
All right. I'm 20 years old and, as you said, currently studying at the University of Missouri. I grew up in a southwest rural community in southwest Missouri where I lived on a cattle farm. Going up through high school, FFA was always there to give me that conduit to learn and to be able to speak and to be a part of something bigger, I guess you could say.
What year of college are you in?
I'm a junior.
June.
Right now.
Okay. So when did you first join the FFA?
So I first joined the FFA, I would have been in eighth grade. So it was 2011, I believe, would have been the year I joined.
Well, what made you want to join? What was it about the organization that brought you into it?
You know, at first it was kind of family ties. You know, my father had always grown up in FFA, and that was something that he really loved about high school. And it was really the biggest club at my high school. At one time when I joined, I think there was only in our high school maybe two or three kids that weren't in the FFA. It was a very large part of our high school, and it continued to be up until and since my graduation. It's kind of that part of the community, you know. It's been something that is a part of everybody's life in our community. Whenever we go out and we sell our fruit, or we have local, like a local potluck, and we do things like that that really make it the centerpiece of the community and the community values. Mm-hmm. It's a big part of our community, and it's something that everybody really feels great about, the FFA there.
Okay. What led you to becoming an officer? Why did you want to be a leader within that leadership organization?
It was just something that, you know, whenever I first joined the FFA, I wasn't necessarily a very outspoken child. I didn't really get into the communication that well. And whenever I was in FFA, my advisor, he pushed me to do the creed speaking. Mm-hmm. And after that, and doing that and competing against people in that creed speaking competition, I learned a great deal about communication and how to carry yourself and confidence when speaking and things like that. And after doing that, it kind of transformed from that role of speaking into that role of leadership. I was involved in the ag sales, LDE. That was a further conduit for that kind of grooming toward a leadership position. Mm-hmm. And after that, it just kind of fell into place. You know, after doing that and learning how to do these different things and being involved in it, it really drew me to want to do that leadership position for, you know, to make something that has been great for me to make it great as well, to give back to it.
Yeah, that's great. Great answer. Okay, so here you are. You're a junior in college, then on to graduate school, and you're majoring in soil resource management. So I'm curious as to how you selected your major. You come from this cattle background. How does soil resource management fit into what you want to do?
While I come from this cattle background, I've also been very interested in science. Whenever I was in FFA, I actually competed in the agri-science competition. And my freshman year, I actually won nationals at that. And agri-science has just always been something that really intrigued me. And then that turned into science. And I actually started out here at the University of Missouri as a biochemistry major. Mm-hmm. And I really enjoyed it. It was a great time, but it was, you were always inside. You weren't really doing anything. And I realized I wanted to do something that was more, you know, outdoor based. Mm-hmm. And after talking to a couple of my advisors, I decided that I wanted to be a soil resource management major because it deals in all of those chemical reactions and just practical knowledge of what you need to do for your soil to, you know, to better produce for your own crops and your grasses, and so that you can better help your industry be better. Mm-hmm. You know, talking about soil fertility and doing some other things like that. That's something that I've really been drawn to because it's a practical application that you can help a large majority of people. And you can do it by talking to them face to face and saying, hey, here's your issues. You've got, you know, maybe too much erosion. You need to start using cover crops or you need to do some conservation tillage, something along those lines. And that's something that's really drawn me into the soils.
Gotcha. Now, you want to go to graduate school for a master's or for a PhD?
Right now, I'm really gunning for the PhD. I've always wanted to do something educationally as far as like trying to go for the highest I can get. And it's just something I really want to do.
You must have been the easiest student for your FFA advisor in high school with all these interests. You've got a ton of energy, a ton of passion, and then all this interest in research. It must have been just easy for them when it came to you.
I really appreciate that. But that said, I would just like to say that, you know, it's not really that it was easy for me to do it, but it was my advisor pushing me to do these things that kind of made me this way, you know, like you know, I wouldn't have really done creed speaking. I wasn't that big of a speaker, you know, until he kind of pushed me to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And he pushed me to help me go to my first national FFA convention. And since that, I never really looked back. And I've always tried to push forward and really try to communicate and do the right thing. And so I would say it's more because of my advisor that I am easy to work with, as opposed to it being easy for my advisor.
Well, that's a great way to put it. And I really appreciate you pointing that out, because I think the FFA advisors, they do a lot to form these young adults into really productive post-high school graduates, just like yourself.
Yeah, they really do, across the board, to all FFA advisors. And on behalf of all FFA members, I'd have to say thank you, because without that kind of a push for all these different students, including myself, it gets a lot harder to really just say, I want to do this.
Yeah.
When you're being, as I like to say, voluntold to do something, it's a lot easier to do it.
I like that. Voluntold. All right. Well, who is that FFA advisor for you, Cole?
That was Travis Waite. Grew up in my hometown. He went to college and did all that. And then he's come back home and he teaches at Vernon High School right now.
So. Awesome. Well, thank you for acknowledging him and all the kind words about FFA advisors in general. I think it really needs to be said more and more. So I really appreciate you doing that. Okay, well, let's talk about your SAE project. So what did that look like during high school?
So in high school, my SAE project, it started off from, my cattle that I had. And I just kind of grew that through a rotational grazing operation. Back and then fed back grounders and sold them at the local sale barns. But I retained all of my heifers and then sold my steers. Got very lucky with some very good genetics, as far as some of the heifers I bought were from the Show Me Select sale, which is a local thing done here in Missouri, mm-hmm. up in the northern part of Missouri. And they had some very good genetics on some heifers I got. And just after that, it's been very much for me about maintaining my genetics and making sure that I'm getting the most for my money. And if it's anything, my SAE taught me about investments. And you might have to spend a couple $100 more, but you're getting that money back over long term in higher returns.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Now, this all led you to a state proficiency award there in Missouri, and then a national proficiency finalist appearance in 2017 at the national convention. What set you apart? What was it about your SAE, you think, that got you to that level?
I think it was just that it was something that I put a lot of time into. You know, I was always spending a lot of time with working with them and making sure that everything was right and feeding and doing things like that. But above all else, I think it was that I was very driven to make sure it succeeded. Mm-hmm. It was something where, and I think that could be said about a lot of things in FFA and otherwise for anybody. If it's something that you want to succeed, and you might not necessarily have the means to do it at the moment, but you can always kind of try to get it to where you can make it work.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I was very fortunate, and I was able to take what I had and really expand and grow that. And in doing so, I learned so much by doing it about vaccination and overall general just care and rotational grazing. And it built, above all things, a work ethic in me to make sure that I was doing things as efficiently and as well as I could.
Yeah, very cool, Cole. You've done so much, and you've got some really awesome goals for other students out there who are just getting started in FFA. If they'd like to achieve officer positions or proficiency awards or go on to graduate school and really get into that, what advice would you have for them?
I would say that if they really set their mind to it and you go out there, just go out, and if you want it, do whatever you can to get it. You know, if you're short on money, do what you can to fill out scholarships.
Mm-hmm.
I filled out a ton of scholarships whenever I was in high school. And it's one of those things where if you want it, then take it. Go out there and get it. And just make sure that you've got that drive. And I think that if it's anything about members in FFA, it's that I feel all of us are very driven. If we have an end goal in mind, we can achieve it, because not only do we have this great work ethic that's been built into us because of our FAE projects and FFA, it's also that we have this great community that surrounds us as a club and as a community as a whole,
mm-hmm.
where because of FFA, just make sure that you are, you know, you can use those to really help yourself and to help all those around you get to where you want to be. Don't be afraid to lean on your friends, because you can help them out as well. And you can bring everybody to where they want to be.
Very good. Very good advice. Cole, this has been great. Really enjoy your passion for agriculture and hearing about everything you've been doing. Best of luck to you in the future, and thank you so much for coming on today.
Thank you so much for having me on the program. I think it's great what you're doing for agriculture and FFA.
For FFA Today, I'm Matt Breckwald.
Thanks to Matt, as always, for a terrific interview. Now stay tuned. We'll keep it here in Missouri to hear how Blue and Gold Pride is extending all the way to the halls of Congress. That's coming up on Rural Radio 147. Welcome back to the show. And finally today, we know that living to serve is an important part of the FFA motto, and few people exemplify true service as much as the U.S. congressmen and women who serve their districts and their country. Here now from Missouri District 8 Representative and Secretary of the House Republican Conference, Jason Smith, about his time in the organization and how it helped to shape his path into government.
Hi, folks. I'm Congressman Jason Smith, representing the good people of Southern Missouri in the United States House of Representatives. I'm an FFA alumnus from Salem, Missouri. Simply put, FFA changed my life. Finding an organization I was passionate about broke me out of my shell and taught me priceless life lessons I wouldn't trade for anything. It was through FFA that I found myself interested in local government. Well, actually, the local government found themselves interested in me. In my freshman year, I was raising a few animals as part of my FFA project, and I get this summons from the local city council, who said I was running a commercial business in a residential area. I thought this was completely ridiculous. This was 15 feet away from my father's auto repair business. I was shy in high school, too afraid to say the FFA creed in public, and now I had to go argue my case in front of the entire city council. Ultimately, I lost, but I got an early lesson that farmers around the country have learned the hard way. The government is not always your friend, and it can make things more difficult than they have to be. From that moment forward, I began to pay attention to government at all levels. I wholeheartedly believe without my experience in FFA, the life lessons, skills, and values I learned, I would never be a member of Congress. It's the reason I framed my FFA jacket and placed it on the wall of my congressional office. As a fourth generation family farm owner and FFA alumnus, standing up for farmers is a big part of who I am and why I serve in Congress. Farmers and ranchers in Missouri feed and clothe the entire world. Their government needs to have their back and stand up for them. It shouldn't make it more difficult to work their land and do their jobs. I love my job, and I'm grateful for the opportunity to serve every day. And I'm grateful that I have the chance because of my time with the FFA.
Well, that'll do it for this week's show. But if you have something that you'd like to share on the program or an idea for something that you'd like to hear more about, just let us know. Shoot us an email at FFAtoday@FFA.org or give us a call, 855-RR on 147. That's 855-776-6147. Until next week, I'm Janet Atkinson with FFA Today on Rural Radio 147, Sirius XM.